You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a miracle, Tim.
It is. We're having a holiday.
It's a Christmas miracle.
There's a lot of news happening right now, and so we wanted to have a holly jolly Christmas together with all of you. Elise Stefanik's career is over, apparently, and Sarah Longwell's having a martini. And before we get to the joy and of Elise Stefanik and the eggnog and the cookies, the dessert, there is some other breaking news right now. The Epstein files have been released, and we're going to want to talk about that. And so, Chris, could you pull up on the screen what we've got? It's the first tranche. So that's been the first tranche from the government there. That is document 00006209.pdf. There's 100
illuminating.
Pages. There's 100 pages that look just like that. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to resolve anything today on the Epstein files. There were some pictures of Bill Clinton looking a little creepy, but we're still going through them. The team is going through them. But it seems to me that, maybe they're not actually going to give us everything. You know, maybe they might not totally, they might not be full transparency related to Donald
not
Trump.
Not committed yet to transparency from the Trump administration is what you're telling me.
What do you think about it? Have you seen anything from the Epstein files worth chatting about before we get to Elise?
I'm shocked.
You're shocked.
Not in this new tranche.
Yeah.
But I will say, we reacted to the Susie Wiles Vanity Fair piece in real time.
Like we had just gotten it. Susie.
But one of the things that Susie said, because so much of it was about her kind of soft pushing some things into the narrative. But some of them was that Trump is all over the Epstein files and that he's not doing anything awful.
Possibly illegal, but not awful.
But not awful because we're working with standards of the Trump team. It does not shock me that they have redacted everything. Like this was their goal, right? Once they knew that they were going to have to release the files per congressional, they passed a law saying that we had to be transparent about this. They went to work redacting everything that they could. And so I think it's going to take a while to work through their redactions.
It almost seems as if there's a cover-up happening with the Epstein files, JVL. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, you never know. But it's funny. It took a long time to get the Epstein files redacted to release. They really get his name up on the Kennedy Center right quick. That's
today.
12 hours.
It's already on the building.
You guys, I drove by it. They have scaffolding up. Like they're getting it done right now.
It's done.
Yeah.
Where did they get the letters? So this is like when you got to get matching. Do they just have somewhere lying around from the original when they
it
put
didn't
the?
It did look like it matched to me. They look like it matched to you.
Which is like when you put in tile somewhere, you always buy extra tiles that if you break one of them, like you don't have to this tile's out of production, we can't match it. Maybe the Kennedy Center just had a bunch of extra letters lying around. Or maybe they had planned this whole thing for a long time. Impossible to say.
Yeah, I have gone full JVL on the Kennedy Center, by the way. I did it with David Frum this morning on the podcast, and he was a little taken aback, I think. He was
what is Canadian. The full JVL?
Yeah, what is the full JVL?
I now I want to bulldoze the Kennedy Center. when we get back to power. I want to bulldoze the Trump Kennedy Center. I'm sorry. Taking his name off it is not good enough for me anymore.
Good enough.
I want to raise it and then, I don't know, build something else, maybe low-income housing there.
A gay bar,
big gay club or something.
The Kennedy Center is like a gay club. I've been there. Like it's just musicals and like reproductions of sheer madness. It's not.
That's a good point.
It's not where the straight people go.
We're still spitballing on it. Okay. So that's the breaking news on the Epstein situation.
Come on, bring it. Bring up the good stuff.
I didn't get on this podcast in the middle of my holiday party for Trump's Kennedy
Center. It's a Christmas party, Sarah. You can say Christmas again.
It is a Christmas party. I was just trying to make sure we had no other. Is there no other important news context about Epstein? I just think that, like, look, they said today they're only going to release 100,000 of the documents, and they're going to continue to roll them out. And you know, I'm just looking at this other batch that's come up here. And the degree to which this stuff is redacted is preposterous. It's almost like, why? I guess they had to do it by law is the answer. My question was going to be why didn't they just stonewall it? But I guess this is their...
Because you can now you'll take it to the coin over extreme redacting, and then they'll fight that out.
Yeah. The classic Trump strategy.
Eileen Cannon
what he did with his legal. His legal strategy this summer was about... Just trying to delay and delay until people either lose interest or stop fighting. But this is where we will never stop fighting for the release of all the Epstein files.
We will never. I love that Sarah is like the point person now for the Epstein files release. Right. You know, it was Joe Rogan world, and now it's Sarah and Nicole Wallace.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's like the zeal of the convert. You know, JBL knows about that in the Catholic Church. Okay. Are we ready for the happy Christmas? Is it happy Christmas, everybody?
Yes. Into my veins.
Give it to me.
A tweet that was just sent out within the last hour. It's from Elise Stefanik, my former colleague. She writes this. While spending precious time with my family this Christmas season, I've made the decision to suspend my campaign for governor. Was kind of expected. I mean, she was going to lose anyway. I was going to kind of enjoy her losing that campaign. So I was a little
by
sad.
20 points. She was going to lose by 20 points.
Reading that first sentence kind of made me a little glum. I was like, ugh, her pain. I was going to have some Schadenfreude there. Her pain was going to bring me joy. And then I read the second sentence, and I will also not seek re-election to Congress. Hmm. I did not come to this decision lightly for our family. Elise Stefanik. Found herself thinking maybe she would be the vice president right now. Threw her name in the ring, did some Ozempic, got a glow up, did everything but suck on Donald Trump's toes. Maybe she did. I don't know exactly what happened on Air Force One, but she did everything at least.
Toes. Sarah, he said toes.
Oh, toes. Okay.
Toes. Suck on his toes. Everything except that.
Sure. Boy, when we go live in the middle of a holiday party, it is wheels off.
He's sober.
I said she did everything up until the possibility of sucking on his toes, which we don't know. Actually, I'm not on Air Force One, but
just asking questions.
She did everything that she could to become VP, and if not VP, to become ambassador to the United Nations, and if not that, his Speaker of the House. And instead, she will be unemployed. Her and Matt Gaetz. I guess Matt Gaetz is a competitor of ours in the podcasting space, not doing as good in the ratings. It is joyful. It is pretty joyful that Elise Stefanik sold her soul and got nothing. Jonathan, Sarah's excited. Sarah, you first. Jonathan,
it's a Christmas miracle, right? This is what we want. What we want is for people unable to navigate what it looks like to be in the post-Trump world to find themselves having to tap out because they sold their souls. And they got nothing in return. Okay. Zero. She was put up for UN ambassador and then had the rug pulled out from under her. And she thought, okay, I'll run for governor. And then what did Trump do? He had walked Mamdani into her office, who she was going to run against. Her entire campaign
was going to be
Donald
Mamdani,
Trump undercut terrorist. It. And then he couldn't even endorse her. He was like, they're both fine.
the other guy, Blake Snowden, I don't think I've heard of him. But, you know, it's a great person, too.
You know what? Donald Trump has only one good quality. Only one. And it is that when people sell their souls for him, when they give up everything on his behalf, He does not care, and he will happily humiliate them in the process. And he's done that to Elise Stefanik. Nobody deserves it more, and I'm thrilled for her.
JVL, hit me.
There are a couple people who deserve it at least as much.
Sure.
And I'm waiting for the slow knife, Marco. But
this one's
JD.
A nice one. Just let me have a nice thing, JVL.
You can have a nice thing. I want to read you guys my favorite part from her statement.
Oh, please.
While we would have overwhelmingly won this primary,
sure,
it is not an effective use of our time or your generous resources to spend the first half of next year in an unnecessary and protracted Republican primary, especially in a challenging state like New York. Well, if you were going to win it overwhelmingly, why would it have been protracted?
A great point. Great point.
This is the most loser talk ever. I would like to read you a list of people. Elise Stefanik, Harvard educated. She's a Harvard girl, right?
Harvard, yeah. Made a big stink thing. When she wasn't invited to some Harvard thing.
Yeah.
You know, about how they're woke libs. Yeah.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Aura Frames. We're now getting down to the wire in holiday shopping season. Hanukkah's already started, and you're getting close to that window for Christmas. That window's closing, basically. It's time to get serious with Aura Frames. And I just got my own in the mail. It adds a touch of home to my desk here at the Bulwark. Can catch a glance at all my favorite people and all the memories that I've compiled over the years, all in this great frame. You can upload unlimited photos and videos to your frame. Just download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi. And it's just about that easy. You can preload photos before it ships, and it keeps adding them anytime, from anywhere. If you want to send your parents photos of their grandkids, you can load them right onto your Aura frame. Your parents will love it. Each frame comes in a premium gift box with no price tag. You can even add a personalized message for your recipient before the frame arrives. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames. They were named number one by Wirecutter. Use the promo code BulwarkTakes at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com. Promo code BulwarkTakes. This deal is exclusive to listeners, and frames do sell out fast. So order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. You are running out of time. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Great Republican. Been a little Republican Tracy Flick her whole life. Just trying to climb that pole. And here are some people.
Ladder is usually the ladder.
The greasy pole. The greasy pole.
Kash Patel got to be director of the FBI. Kash Patel got to be director of the FBI. His name will be etched in American history. Christy Noem, the weird woman who went to the dentist and did a video about it, got to be a cabinet secretary.
Shot her dog.
Tulsi Gabbard, who was a Democrat until 5 minutes ago, got to be DNI.
Yeah.
He's like in the middle of the Five Eyes, you know, doing James Bond shit. She wasn't even Republican.
Mm.
Jeanine Pirro, a drunk from TV who's already 25 years past her prime, got a fancy attorney position. Pete Hegseth, another drunk who wasn't even very good at TV.
Let's take it easy on drunks Secretary right now. I'm not feeling War. Mad at them for that.
Secretary of War.
Means a quack, got to be Surgeon General of the United States. Just an influencer. Just a woman who's an influencer from the TikToks and the Instagrams. Dan Bongino, a man with a podcast, got to be Deputy Director of the FBI. And Harvard educated, check all the boxes, brown all the noses, do all the things that you have to do to get ahead in Republican politics. What she got was her ass run out of town.
Bupkis. On the other side of that, John,
it's the greatest thing ever.
And how about this? Well, how about John Thune? No profile in courage, no love for John Thune, but like, you know. I utterly debase himself in every imaginable way to the degree that Elise Stefanik did. He got to be majority leader of the Senate.
Yep.
You know, like, I mean, she completely it sold every iota of dignity that she had for literally nothing. For nothing. Coal.
Absolutely in her stocking. Yes. That's the thing here.
Let me ask you guys this, because this was my first thought after being like, this makes me happy. This is nice. Happy Christmas. I thought, what is it that this Elise Stefanik, somebody like her who was a rising star in the Trump era, tapping out, what does it tell us? And the only thing I could think is, because one of the people JBL didn't mention is J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance and Elise Stefanik are extremely similar creatures.
The same.
Right? It's exact same type of person. They were like the Never Trump set, people who were kind of moderate Republicans. They were on the up and up. We were going to have a more moderate Republican Party that reached out to Hispanics, that reached out to minorities, different kind of Republican Party. And then they turned on a dime and went for Trump. He gets to be vice president. Mm-hmm. She gets nothing. She taps out. Does that mean, though, that her confidence in the future of this Republican Party, in which she has invested her entire soul, that she thinks it's going down post-Trump? No.
No.
What
no.
do you think?
This is purely a function of JD had Peter Thiel's money behind him, and then he was smart enough to realize that he needed to ingratiate himself with Don Jr. and the Trump kids so that he could make himself like a... I mean, JD is essentially like Owen Wilson's character from the Royal Tenenbaums. Like, you know, he's the poor kid who lives across the street who's always hanging out in the Tenenbaum household until like they just consider him one of the family, you know? Mm-hmm. And Elise thought she could just run the inside game. You know, she thought she could just do the thing, work her way up through the party infrastructure, and I'll take all the jobs in the house. And, you know, that's the way she came up basically in the world that was still Kevin McCarthy's world. You know, where those sorts of things mattered. It turns out you just have to like go on some hunting trip, go do some blow with Don Jr.
I'd like to, you need to do. Well, this is good. So I'd like to make another point about the JD and Elise comparison that speaks to like how you got to be careful with the kind of devil you're making the deal with. And it does tie a little bit to the Epstein case and the type of person, the type of man Donald Trump is. Like, let's be honest. If Elise was hotter, she might have been the VP. I really. Like, if she looked the part better, she looked the part. Like, she and JD are the same. They did the same stuff. Like, Trump convinced himself because JD and Don Jr. were buddies. Like you're saying, they were like fucking hunting buddies. I don't think he did a coke, but I'll just say that. So, you know, just so we
nobody, he put on the eyeliner and he debased himself.
Yeah, he said, too, like, you know, beard. He looked the part. Like, he made himself look the part of VP. And if you're going to be a woman that is going to totally throw in with somebody that was Jeffrey Epstein's best friend, that is a stated misogynist, he says he likes to grab women by the you-know-what.
Hires lawyers that he picked up at Mar-a-Lago, who are now the people defending him in court, or like former beauty queens that he picked up at Mar-a-Lago. I think this point stands.
That you threw in with him. Like, I'm not saying it. Like, you know what I mean? I wouldn't pick my VP based on that. I'm just saying that, like, you threw in with a guy who picks his VPs based on how they look the part. Yes. And so I do think that's something that, like, you should feel bad about. So, like, that is how you ended up in this situation. Like, you threw in with a disgusting misogynist pig, and you got nothing, in part because he's a disgusting misogynist pig. Yeah.
That's part of it. The other thing, though, that I was thinking about is, you know, J.D. Vance tweeted recently that there's a difference between being anti-Zionist and anti-Semitic, whereas Elise made her bones. Like, her big standout thing last year was pushing back on Harvard and Yale on the protests right around Palestine. The problem is they are starting to realize that their base is not a fan, actually, of defending Israel. And so they need more of J.D. Vance who can say, actually, I need to welcome the Groypers in. Somebody who has made their bones on, I'm going to stand with Israel, not as good for this version of the Republican Party.
That is a good point, Sarah.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's an important point to make a lot for people in our circles also who like do this thing with the Democrats. It's like they couldn't ever pick Josh Shapiro because he's Jewish and the Democrats are anti-Semitic. Like, to the degree that is, you know, that there's any truth of that, like, the same can be said really in this situation. Like yes, JD, JD's a bit like willingness to play along with the anti-Semite crowd is a key part of his sustainability.
Have you guys read the giant Manhattan Institute focus group?
I started to, and I haven't made it all the way through.
Okay, because this is the Monday triad. The Manhattan Institute, very Trump-friendly, did something called Everyone Wants to Know What Gen Z Republicans Think. We ask them. And so they talked to 20 GOP Zoomers. A lot of Hitler talk came up.
Yeah.
Pro? Anti? Anti?
I mean, pro. Like, you know, look, he was a strong leader. You know, you could say what you want about him. You know, of course, it was probably terrible. But, you know, like he really knew and he believed in the good of his people. And.
And this is J.D. Vance understands this particular impulse on how you vice signal to be based, because he is our shit poster in chief. And he understands that being based and vice signaling means you take Nick Fuentes and you give him a wink, not even a wink. You put your arm around him. And for Elise, she was willing to embrace. And this is Matt. This is actually this goes to my theory of the difference between the America First.
Yep.
Oh, right. That's the American First establishment. That's what she is. And she's starting to see that that is fading, that without Trump directly having his hands on you, that doesn't have the purchase in the same way. The MAGA establishment versus the America First world,
right?
Which is where JD understands.
Yeah. She's also handicapped by being in New York State, where the Groiper stuff doesn't really fly in New York State, right?
It even
among
not.
Republican circles, whereas like out nationally, it's a little different, right? And so she was at a natural disadvantage, but I'm sure she would have done all this stuff if she had figured it out sooner, but I don't think she did. Like, I don't think she
was reliant. And this is, I've said this before for people who are just kind of joining. Like, this is, it's because I have firsthand knowledge of this. As Sarah mentioned, she was an ever Trumper. A lot of my friends, like, when I was, were the people that worked for her, were her consultants.
Totally.
And so, like, I knew, like, a lot of people in her inside circle closer than I did, and like some others. And she threw them all out and had, like, a 24 year old, basically an intern who was a MAGA intern named Alex DeGrasse, who, like, went from 2 years from being an intern to her top political strategist. And he like took over the Twitter feed and she started tweeting like Trump because he was just like a MAGA kid. And she saw that he understood the base and that all these like old Romney advisors she had didn't. And that guy, that same guy, this is part of the reason why I get so much joy about this. It's just not just that I take pure joy from Elise's pain, which I do, but like they deserve it. Because they trafficked in the worst, disgusting elements of MAGA to win over. And that guy DeGrasse was one of these guys yesterday or this week who had like picked out the random brown student who was, you know, gender fluid or whatever, was posting his picture. It's like at least Stefanik staffer is posting the wrong picture of someone and trying to blame them for the shooting because they're trans and a Palestinian activist or whatever. And like that is the shit that is totally gross and irresponsible, but that's like the type of shit that she was willing to do to get into Trump's good graces. And it was gross and
not legal advice, but that seems potentially defamatory.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, but not even that. It's not enough. Like, this is what's crazy about the Elise thing is that despite everything she did, all the ways she debased herself, all the gross stuff she was willing to do, it is not enough to stay in the good graces of the America First types that are taking over now.
Okay, two more things. Well, we do have some video, I think, of Elise that I do want to show. And we're
Nick stepped up to address the crowd twice. Both times the protesters booed her.
Get the tomatoes.
Okay, that's true. That's enough. Do we think she's going to go home to her district? Raise your hand if you think Elise Stefanik is going to go home to upstate New York after this is all over.
She's going to go to my side.
That's a good prediction question, though. What does she do in the wake of this?
Doesn't she get the Paul Ryan Memorial Chair at Fox News' board?
I do think it's something like that.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
It's like, here's all the these question. People hate the elites and hate blue cities. She'll either live in Alexandria or in Manhattan.
She'll come to Manhattan. Yeah. My question is, if there is a schism, as Sarah is predicting, between the MAGA establishment and the America Firsters, whose side will Elise take?
She'll take MAGA,
the MAGA establishment. Yeah.
You think?
Here's what I think. And I think they're wrong.
I think that's why she's leaving.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they are wrong. And luckily, we'll all get to hang out together for 3 more years and assess this. I think the America First side wins. I just think that's where the mojo is.
Fingers crossed.
That said, the MAGA establishment side, I think they have the advantage, actually. It's funny.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year, and we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.